This episode is presented by State Farm. Having insurance isn't the same as having State Farm. It's like needing the protection of an offensive guard on the football field, but getting an elementary school crossing guard. Sure, they're both guards, but you can only trust one to keep your quarterback safe when the game is on the line. So don't settle for just any insurance when there's State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Abercrombie Kids is bringing the cheer all holiday season and the gifts too. No matter how long their wish list is, there's always room for just one more. Whether it's a new winter coat, an extra pair of jeans, or cozy matching sweat sets, get gifting with looks they've been waiting for all year. Shop Abercrombie Kids in the app, online, and in stores.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of The Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
We're going to kick you in the teeth.
They give it to Jameer.
He's gone, baby.
We're going to bite a kneecap off.
And intercepted by the Lions.
Oh, DJ Reed.
Earlier on the show, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero, Super Bowl winning head coach Bruce Arians. Coming up, Academy Award nominated actor Andy Garcia. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number 3 of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. We're live on Disney Plus, the ESPN app everywhere. We say hello to those listening on ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Hello to everybody out there on Sirius XM Channel 80. Later on in this hour, I'll give you what else is at stake in week number 14 of the National Football League season, and there is quite a lot at stake. We already chopped up the Thursday night victory for the Lions over the Dallas Cowboys that we saw last night. Tom Pelissero joined us in hour number 1. Hour number 2 also featured Bruce Arians, as well as our usual What's More Likely. All of it is available on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. If you missed anything, there's all 3 hours of our podcast as well. As you know, one of our favorite shows is Landman on Paramount Plus. Ali Larter was on this program just a couple of weeks ago talking about our Eagles, as well as Landman Season 2. Billy Bob Thornton's been on here before. We love all things Taylor Sheridan, but this show in particular. Andy Garcia is about to come out here on our set, has joined the cast at the end of Season 1. He's featured in Season number 2 quite a bit, including just this past weekend's episode. He plays an individual named Dan Morrell and Galeno. It just depends on if he's just, I guess, laundering money or making it. this is him in a scene with Demi Moore that's coming up this very weekend.
Your husband, he left you quite a mess, didn't he?
It wasn't intentional. But yes, he did.
Snakes are cannibals. Did you know that?
I did not.
They eat rabbits, mice, squirrels, quail. But they also eat each other. I know my business is similar. But the snakes, we have a code. We only eat other snakes. No rabbits, no mice, no quail. I'd like to help you, but I can't negotiate with you. Not because you're a woman. You're not a snake. Have Tommy reach out.
Are you calling Tommy a snake?
Well, maybe not a snake, but he's a hawk. And hawks, they eat snakes too.
Tommy being the Billy Bob Thornton character. Yes. Awesome stuff. Andy Garcia is here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Hi, how are you? Good to see you.
Man, do these lines written by Taylor Sheridan just jump off the page as you're saying, I can make a meal of this when I'm sitting down on camera, you know?
He's such a great writer. And you just say the words. You know, it's not only his writing, the way how he can write individually for every character, so uniquely specific,
right?
Specifically, but also his storytelling, the arcs of his stories with the characters, which is very important in an ongoing series. You know, his ideas about that, and of course, the voicing of this central character for Billy Bob is just quite extraordinary. You know, he can't take a step without basically having the weight of the world on his shoulders.
Right.
It's coming at him from all angles all the time. And now we have in this new season also Sam Elliott has joined the show.
His dad. Yeah.
And them together, you know, Billy and Sam together are really sublime, you know.
What a cast, too. I mean, you got an Academy Award nominee that you're across from right there.
Amazing in the show.
Right. Yeah. And you know, we had Ali Larter here just the other week.
Yeah, and Michelle, everybody.
Everybody just, it's a group of scenery chewers, you know what I mean? Like, like you're all chewing up the scenery in a good way, you know? Mm-hmm. And I can't get enough of it. What did Taylor Sheridan tell you about your character? I don't want to spoil anything because we're kind of still learning about how dark you are or how, you know, I'm rooting that you're going to turn into a nice guy a little bit here, Andy. I'll be honest with you, from the fan point of view.
He has two names. You know?
Yes, he does, I know.
You set him up already when you opened the show.
Right.
You know, in the first season, you learn about him a certain way.
Yes.
And in the second season, he kind of sees the other side of the coin.
Right.
But Taylor asked me to come out to Fort Worth to meet him before that. He wanted to create this character for me. And of course, for me, I found that to be a great privilege. You know, I was a big fan of his already, not only from Yellowstone, but from his movies. He's still an actor, but you know, I knew him as an actor. But also I knew him, you know, of the films he wrote, which were quite extraordinary. I said, this guy can really write. And so when I got the call that he says that he wanted to create this character, he told me that there was essentially this kind of cartel presence in the Permian Basin and in Texas, and I had no idea.
That's the thing about all his shows, too. And by the way, obviously, you know, you've worked with Costner before. He's worked with Costner. We saw what Yellowstone has been basically the base of operations for everything else out of it. And, you know, watching Taylor Sheridan's Lioness, for instance, just the fact that he learns that world, and now I'm learning it. He seems to be so detail-oriented in every world that creates.
Yeah, and it's based on a podcast, too. You know, it's Christian Wallace's podcast. So.
Sure.
But the words are Taylor, you know.
Right.
But, you know, that was it. I said, you know, he said, I wanted to create this character for you. And I said, I'm in. I'm all in. I said, you know, let's go.
Right.
There was nothing written yet, but I said, I'm all in. You know?
Yeah. And that's, you didn't even see a written word.
No, you're
all in.
Don't need to. No, we spoke about life and movies and the character where he was from, and he says, "No, it's you. He's not from Texas. He's, you know, my pops." And then we started to spitball a little bit. I said, "Okay, then. So he's maybe South Florida. He's Cuban. He's the connection to where the source, the raw material comes from, you know." And he developed this area, and through time, these relationships in the business world, and then he went off and wrote. But I was happy that he was a fan. He had seen a movie of mine many years ago with Al Ashby called 8 Million Ways to Die, and he was a fan since then. So
heard of that one?
I was, you know, like I said, I was privileged that he thought of me. You know,
so you're saying that your character Galeno roots for the Miami Dolphins? Is that what you're saying right now?
Yeah.
I hadn't picked up on that.
Yeah.
What do you think of your Miami Dolphins right now?
Well, we're on a little bit of a streak, you know.
You are. I mean.
If we can win out, you never know. Maybe we'll sneak in, you know.
We have you kind of just went, for you, something called higher register, which is a gag or a bit that we do around here.
When you mentioned Dolphins, my register went up.
Register goes up when you got to go higher register in order to believe it. Like, hey, if we went out.
I see.
You know what I mean? Like, hey, you know, you never know.
You never know. Glasses half full kind of guy with the Dolphins.
Well, this kid, Achan, when he gets the ball, it's a home run almost every time.
Well, you know, what happened also is that McDaniel, very cleverly, because of his abilities, he put a tackle as a secondary tight end and sometimes in the backfield as a fullback. And it's opened up a little bit more of the zone blocking and more people out there blocking for the HNs of the world.
Plus the way he schemes things up, it just it comes from, you know, obviously the San Francisco world where just all you got to do is just get one little extra angle, one little extra motion, and suddenly that step will hit a crease and off you can go.
Yeah.
Certainly, as fast as he is.
Yeah.
Oh, So how far back with the Dolphins do you go, like from the beginning?
From day one. From day one, I was there opening kickoff when Joe Auer took the opening kickoff 105 yards.
No kidding.
In the Orange Bowl, yeah.
You were physically there?
I was physically there and in the 60s, and I went all through the Shula years and the undefeated season. I was at every game and the Marino years, and then I moved to L.A. in 78.
Yes.
And I periodically would go back and see a game, but mostly – in those days, it wasn't like the Sunday ticket, so we'd find satellite places that had satellites.
Right.
Eventually, I got a satellite from my house to watch the games.
Did you meet Marino? You ever meet
him? Yes, yes.
Okay, give me that one. What do you got for me there?
Oh, my God. He's the best.
And
I asked him, you know, I was at one of the games. I was sitting with him in the their booth up there.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, Dan, what do you think? What do you think you would do with these new rules where the defensive backs can't touch anybody and they can't muscle them? And you were like, oh, my God.
He didn't even have to answer. He just laughs, right?
He just went like that. It'd be thousands and thousands of yards.
5,000 every season, 6,000 wouldn't even be any stretch.
There's been great passers of the ball in the NFL, from Joe Namath and all. But I think, hands down, Marino is the greatest passer to in the game.
I mean, you got to sit here. And he and Elway from the 80s.
Yeah.
Suddenly, with each passing year, a lot of people forget how incredibly great they were.
Amazing.
So Marino, so you go way back in the day.
Way back, yeah. I'm diehard.
Gary Yeprimian making that moment in the Super Bowl.
Come on.
Well, I mean, that actually prevented the Dolphins from having the final score match their record of 17-0.
Yeah.
Had he made that field goal, they'd have been up 17-0. Instead, it made it 14-7, which they won. I'm not bringing up the losses to you. You know what I mean? But
I thought you were talking about Gary Yeprimian trying to pass.
Yeah, that's
make the pass.
Right. And instead of made the field goal, it would have been 17-0 is the final score for a 17-0 team.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
Instead, it was 14-7 is the final score because of what happened. But all right. So we got the Miami Dolphins there. Landman, again, is available every single Sunday on Paramount Plus. And congrats. Season 3 is picked up.
I just heard this morning, as soon as I got here.
Yeah.
I got to come here more often.
That's what I was saying. How many times have we had
this is like instance 3 or 4 where this has happened, where an actor in the show has been on the show that day when it got announced a new season.
Yeah, yeah, that's amazing. I mean, like I said, it's a privileged situation to be in, a lot of fun. And, the cast, to play with that cast and with that writing is really beautiful.
And again, just look at that cast that's up on there on the screen. It really is phenomenal with Taylor Sheridan at the controls as well. And you're working on your golf game while you're shooting Landman? Is that what to understand?
No,
I did
actually, because Taylor, I think it's in the episode four
this
weekend.
Sunday.
Yeah.
Okay.
He had written this thing in a monologue that Billy comes to my office and he says, you can, basically says something to the effect, it's a tease. There you go. It's a tease saying, you can pretend, you can play golf at the country club, but I know, I saw you kill a man in front of me, I know who you are. And so I saw that. I called Scotty Cameron and he's made me these Napa putters, which is the putter that Ben Crenshaw kind of made famous, the old 8802, Wilson 8802 from the 60s, Palmer and stuff. And he made me that putter. He says, so when Billy comes to see me, I said, I'm going to be putting in my office. And then the director, Stephen Kay, said, oh, great. Just keep. So we have this kind of rather intense scene. And then my character is just putting through it.
Amazing.
Taylor Sheridan writes a scene for you to play golf in your office.
No. Billy said, I know that you like to play golf. So I just said, I thought it was interesting that I would be putting. Golfers.
You suggested.
Yeah,
how about I do
that? I just
that?
Brought it out and brought the putter with me, and I said, what if I'm putting to the director? And he said, great, let's do that. You know how golfers, if we have a chance to practice our putting wherever it is, we'll just sit right here.
Yeah.
We'd be on a break. Everybody would be putting. Right?
Look over your right shoulder. There's the surface
there.
Every time I'll look up from this desk, actually getting ready to do the show, and I'll see him putting over there, and I'm like, what's happening?
So exactly. So if you zoom into that shot, you'll see the little Scotty Cameron label on the putter. So that's Danny Morrell's putter. It's a gunmetal blue Napa. It's called Napa. Scotty said, I'm going to make it gunmetal.
That's a great flex, by the way, Andy, to just be like, hey, Scotty Cameron, can you make me a custom putter?
Yeah, he's been good to me.
Well
he's
done.
Been good to me, yeah.
How is your game going?
It's my handicap's going up. I can't, you know,
okay,
my
length. You're working.
Yeah,
you're
no,
working.
But also length, you know. If you have, it, you know, it's when you have to hit hybrids and three woods into into par fours, you're going to have to get up and down a lot to keep your handicap at some. The lowest I've ever been has been like a 7. I'm maybe like a 14 now. So.
All right, I got to go here, even though I probably shouldn't, but I'm going to go here. Andy Garcia here on the Rich Eisen Show. You know, I've seen you out at the club, okay? And
at Lakeside, yeah.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
And I see Pesci there.
Mm-hmm.
What do you and Joe Pesci talk about when you're just hanging out, if you don't mind me asking, Andy Garcia?
I don't think anything specific, but we do talk about golf, actually. You know, he'll say...
Just golf?
Well, he'll look at what I do, and he says, what are you doing? What are you doing? Why are you doing that?
But you don't talk about the profession? You never...
Sometimes,
you never
but I wouldn't say that it's something that we always talk about. I think it's just easygoing, you know. Nothing... I wish I could tell you an anecdote or say we like to talk about this or that, but it's pretty easygoing, you know. He loves the game, you know. He's very serious about the game.
He's serious about people playing fast in front of him. That I know.
Yeah, I know, yeah. Yeah. He kind of bops around a lot. You know, he just finds an empty hole and plays, you know, and hits a couple balls. He likes to just be out there.
I know that. I feel bad sometimes when I look to my right and I see him zipping past. I'm like, I'm trying to go fast.
Well, I'll see him across the way if I'm not playing with him. And I'll go like this. So he knows that it's me. You know, it's like bringing in an airplane, you know. And he goes, I said, Joe, if I go like this, it's me. Because a lot of people, you know, will go, hey, Joe, how are you? And I said, I'm just doing this. And that's me. And he'll go like, he'll look and he'll go, hey, how you doing?
Oh, my God.
He's the best, huh?
He's the best.
American original.
He told me that he will go up to a kid. I've been told, actually, by people at the club when they bring the kids.
Yeah.
And obviously, I know him from Goodfellas. I even know him from, like, Easy Money, right, back in the day.
From Home Alone, yeah.
Home Alone.
Yeah.
And he'll go up to a kid who recognizes him from Home Alone, and he'll say, I haven't broken into your house yet.
That reminds me. I have a picture of him with my daughter, Daniela, who's now in her mid-30s, but she was probably 10.
Right.
And she was at the club with me on my golf cart, you know, and I was playing with Joe, and she came up or something like that, and he sat on the thing, and he took her hand, and he put it in his mouth like this, and I have that shot, so that just reminded me.
I love that guy. So are you in the, maybe the next Oceans? Are we...
I was told I haven't read the script. I was told by Grant Hesloff, who's my golf buddy and producer.
I was sitting next to him last night.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. Great. Yeah,
Did you pick his brain about Oceans? Because he's involved in that. He told me, that I'm in it, but I haven't.
I wish I had known while I was out flopping him. But anyway, long story short is you were definitely. You think you've been told you're in this next thing.
He told me that my character's in it and just trying to get a green light, you know.
Terry Benedict is
back.
Who'd you base him on?
No one in particular. No, it was in just the writing itself, how he's presented. I mean, I had that guy. I remember having a conversation with Soderbergh when we first started. Mm-hmm. We had our first meeting together.
Right.
And I said, you know, Steven, I think this guy is like, you know, he's like, he has a kind of a military precision, you know, like the art of war kind of guy.
Uh-huh.
He's very disciplined about who he is and the way he dresses and all these things and sort of maybe like a Eastern philosophy about him.
Yes.
But he's very precise. When he goes through his casino, your people have to fall in to talk to him. He's not going through the casino casually.
Right.
He has things to do, and he's like a shark. He's got to keep moving.
Right.
And if people have to talk to him, they got to fall in and give him the information as he goes. And I remember he said, okay, yeah, that sounds great. And he kind of states stuff for that. If you see Ocean's 11, you see them, like, there's scenes like that where we want to keep moving and, you know.
Is it true that that some of the scenes in which you're walking in the casino or even... you know, when you're in the back part of the casino and this is when it's all going, the heist is going down. The shots of you walking around were shot weeks apart and you had to match your
gauge. It's possible. Sometimes that happens where you are in the casino. But my favorite story, if you have time.
Please do.
Of Ocean's 11. I think it was Ocean's 11. We were doing the lunch break instead of going to like the catering or whatever. Don Cheadle and Scotty Kahn and myself, we went to the cafeteria at the Bellagio.
Mm-hmm.
And they have this long counter that kind of sweeps like this and this. It's in the casino area there. Mm-hmm. So we sit down in the counter like this, and Don is in the middle, Scotty Kahn, and I'm to the right.
Mm-hmm.
And this young girl from New York says, how can I help you? And then we go, oh, we just want to have some quick lunch. Mm-hmm. He goes, what are you doing here? He says, no, we're shooting a movie. Because you're shooting a movie? He goes, yes, we're shooting a movie. This is Don Cheadle's talking.
Yes.
Shooting a movie. He goes, who's in the movie? And he says, well, George Clooney, Brad Pitt, Matt Damon, Julia Roberts, Andy Garcia. Just Andy Garcia's in the movie? Oh, my God. Hot Be Still. I'm sitting right here next to him. Hot Be Still. Oh, my God. He's my favorite. Oh, can I see him? You think I'll be able to see him? He goes, he's sitting right here. And she looked me up and down. And she says, no. No, he's much taller, more handsome, stronger. And then she walked away.
Did she think you were somebody else?
And listen, I had that, you know, Terry Benedict's clothes. I had like $5,000 on me in clothing, you know, and a $500 haircut, you know what I mean? And it's still like, nah, it's not good. No, she really looked at me. She went, no.
That's amazing.
It's kind of, it just looks, again, one of the compliments that we love getting is from people who watch us and listen to us. Andy,
yeah.
It's like, looks like you're having fun. That movie.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Looks, well, even though obviously you're all acting.
Yeah.
Like, that had to have been a complete
It trickles down from George. George does, you know, his joy of life and his sense of humor. And of course, Weintraub, you know. And,
oh, Jerry.
And you have, you know, in that period of people want to have fun, you have Brad and Matt and Don and everybody. And Scotty and you know, Affleck, Casey, and, you know, just a bunch of
Carl Reiner. I mean,
Carl Reiner, God rest his soul.
Yeah, right there on the screen.
Oh, man. He was the best. I miss him so much. He, you know, when someone like that looks, tells you. I remember I was doing this actual scene, and he came, and I said, Carl, what a great pleasure it is to work with you. I've been in such a mm-hmm. great admirer of yours so many years, you know, forever, you know. And he looked at me and said, you're beloved.
No kidding.
That's what he said. And that was like...
No kidding.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty cool for you.
Oh, man. It's like, you know, it's it means the world to, you know, when a colleague or someone that you think, well, you know, you go like, has he been... You know, if he's been watching whatever I did and mm-hmm. he has that reaction.
Sure.
Or is a beautiful gift, you know.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
And I could geek out on this so much, but is it also true in the scene where you walk up to all the whales
mm-hmm.
and you're talking three different languages that Soderbergh threw that on you at the last second and you had to learn...
I don't remember. Again,
these are all things that
it's
are out there.
It's been a long time. I don't remember. You know, I don't remember.
I would think you remember if you have to learn Mandarin at the drop of a hat.
I have a feeling that was in the script. And okay. I probably learned the little like snippets,
right? Yeah, where you're saying like you're talking to one.
No, I think that was in the script, and I learned it. I would love to take credit that I can do a little Mandarin gibberish on the spot.
My 13-year-old watched it, loved it. I watch it back. It's a remote drop movie for me, Ocean's 11.
It's a beautiful film. And you know what's magical also in that movie is the ending over the fountain where people peel off.
Yeah.
And I remember, and Claire de Lune is playing.
Yep.
And
You're not in that.
No, I'm not in that. And I remember Soderbergh said to the team, mm-hmm. to the guys, you guys are all there, you know, but you guys peel off in your own time. Whoever wants to go first, third or fourth, it's not, you know, I'm covering it so it all works. And you guys decide when you guys want to go, is what your individual character wants to go. But I just want to leave Elliot Gould there by himself, you know.
Why do you think he did that?
Because Elliot was the elder statesman of the casino thing.
No, but just to let everybody leave when they want.
Just leave organically. Who goes first? It wasn't like a pecking order. You know, let's leave, you know, Danny Ocean last or so-and-so.
Okay.
So it was more like everybody leaves in their own time, however they do it.
All right. I'm going to I'll put you on a little bit of a spot then before I let you go here.
Okay.
Andy Garcia. So you haven't read the script yet of the next iteration.
No.
Okay.
No.
What do you want Terry Benedict to be? coming in and finishing up? Like, if
coherent.
That's it, just coherent.
And you know, by the way, in that movie, I think it was
this is great.
There's also a putting scene. I try to put a putting scene in everything I do. You know? And we were doing this scene with Julia Roberts. I think it's in 11. Mm-hmm. And I had told the prop guy, just for the sake of maybe I'll use it or whatever, because he said, you want any props? And I said, yeah, make me a cane with a putter head. That same map by the old putter head, because it looks like a cane.
It sure does if you flip it over.
Yeah, and make me that and we'll see what happens. And there was a scene with Julia, and I think it's in 11, where the scene starts and you see a glass on the floor and a ball comes off camera to try to make it in the glass that's on the turned over on the floor. I didn't make the putt, but then I come to get the balls, and it's like a reveal, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, it's the Scotty Cameron putters are in my rider.
I love it. That's the way to work it, man.
Yeah.
Again, new episodes of Landman available to stream every Sunday exclusively on Paramount Plus. An incredible cast, an incredible show. And Andy, you're the man. Thanks for coming here and sharing your stories. It's great to see you too. I mean, I could go in millions of other directions, but I'll just wait till the next time you come here. Please, anytime. Anything else you want to pop? What's going on here with you?
I'm in the editing room. I just wrote and directed a picture that I also acted in with. I've been trying to make for like 15 years, so that's what I'm doing now. We have a great cast: Vicky Creeps, Rosemary DeWitt, Brendan Fraser, Bill Murray, Dustin Hoffman, Danny Houston, Yul Vasquez, Damien Bashir. I mean, I was blessed with a great actor.
Fantastic. And that's right now in the
I'm in the room right now. I'm heading there right now.
Fantastic. Well, don't let me hold you up. I want to see that movie. And everybody, check out Landman on Paramount Plus. Just picked up for season 3. Come back and we'll get you season 4. How does that sound?
Looking forward.
That's where it works. Andy Garcia right here on The Rich Eisen Show. Back in a moment here in Los Angeles. As many of you know, supporting pediatric cancer research is something I care deeply about. That's why I'm proud to share what Hyundai's doing through Hyundai Hope on Wheels. For over 27 years, with every Hyundai sold, they've helped fund pediatric cancer research. Alongside over 850 dealers, they've raised more than $277 million, helping over 25,000 kids and supporting more than 1,400 research grants at 175 institutions nationwide. This year alone, they've committed another $27 million in honor of the 27th anniversary of the program. And they're proud to have national youth ambassadors like Jackson Trin and Emmy Cole, who bring hope to kids across the country by sharing their stories. Because at Hyundai, hope is our greatest feature, and it comes standard. Visit HyundaiUSA.com and search Hyundai Hope on Wheels to learn more. Let's talk about O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. They offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts, accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts, too, can test your battery for free in or out of your car. And if it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. That's how helpful they are. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you'll find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and best of all, friendly. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/Eisen.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show as a simulcast. We're here on ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Before I get to what's at stake for the rest of week 14, let's go to Joe in Texas. He's been hanging on the longest. What's up, Joseph?
Joe.
You there, Joe?
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
Joe.
Everybody hangs on for all this time, and then it's time. Pop them back on hold. Anthony in Miami's been hanging on the second longest. What's on, Anthony? What's going on?
Hey, Rich, longtime fan.
What's up?
I wish I could watch the special for Stuart Scott because he was one of my favorites. I've been a fan of you and Stu since the
Thank
Deuce.
You. Yeah, that's coming up next Wednesday. It's coming up Wednesday on ESPN, so maybe you'll be able to catch it.
ESPN, I can't afford to get ESPN.
I got you, man. But I appreciate you calling in today. What's on your mind?
I want to talk about the Giants and who should be their new head coach, because it's quite clear that they obviously need somebody who is a disciplinarian type, someone who commands respect and commands the room.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hearing a lot of people saying that if Mike Tomlin gets let go by the Steelers or if he decides to leave, he should do it. I disagree.
Okay.
The person who should be the head coach of the New York Giants is the head coach at Notre Dame, Marcus Freeman.
Yeah, I bet you they. Let me tell you, I think his name's going to be mentioned every single year, I don't know what would make it stop other than him taking a job, but he is highly impressive. What he has done with Notre Dame would absolutely be something I think the Giants are interested in. I don't know if the Giants would take a college coach at the very end of the day. I don't know what their mindset is going to be. Joe Shane is leading it, but if they wind up with Marcus Freeman, I think every Giant fan would be ecstatic over something like that. Anthony.
I see Marcus Freeman as somebody like Jimmy Johnson when he went to Dallas.
Why not?
Because
sure.
When you look at the Giants roster, there is a lot of young players on that roster, a lot of rookies, first, second, third, and even fourth-year players. Marcus Freeman has been head coach of Notre Dame 4 years, which means he's recruited, and he was defensive coordinator for Brian Kelly for two. So he's recruited a lot of the players that are on the Giants. He knows what their strengths are. He knows what their weaknesses are.
And not a bad idea. Anthony, thank you for the call. Thanks for hanging on as long as you did. That's Anthony in Miami right here. Or if he is from New York City, that sounds like he is from, it's probably known as Antony in certain parts.
Yeah.
That's what we would call somebody like Anthony from Staten Island. Antony.
Or Tony.
Hey, man, Marcus Freeman is going to have his name mentioned every coaching cycle in the National Football League, no matter how many times he says, I like it here.
Is he ever?
And we'll find out if he makes it when we come on the air Monday.
Mm-hmm.
We'll find out if he's got a college football playoff team. Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't that be something?
It's a TV show.
That's Sunday, right? That'll be Sunday. That usually happens during
Sunday night.
Is it Sunday night or is it usually? It usually happens during game day morning. Usually, they get
in
my
morning.
Ear.
Oh, okay.
Usually, they get in my ear and say the college football rankings are out, and then we pop it on the screen, and we're like, okay, now.
Well, I guess the games are over Saturday.
Let's have the adults play. 844-204 Rich number to dial. Week 14 is just chock full of playoff implicating action, and every single week. It ratchets up now. December football. Now there's so much at stake coming into this weekend in the National Football League. And it's time for me to just lay it all out for you as to what's at stake in week number 14. Hit it, please. I need some music for that sort of thing. And I'm going to start in Atlanta. There's 8 early window games, 8 of them. The Seattle Seahawks are in Atlanta. The Atlanta Falcons are playing out the string, and I don't know if they're playing for their coach's job. I don't mean to ever stir that stuff up, but who the heck knows anymore these days? I know that they like Raheem Morris there, and there's lots to like about with Raheem. Drake London's not playing in this game, and that doesn't help matters. And the Seahawks are coming to the East Coast, and this is what they do. They come east in an early window when you're supposed to beat them, and they beat you up instead. And the Seahawks are going to need to win this game, knowing that later on in the day, the Rams are taking on the Arizona Cardinals. The San Francisco 49ers are cooling their heels on their bye week. Seahawks early window, Rams late window. And that's going to be a Jacoby Brissett start. And the Rams last week, early window west to east, they couldn't pull it off against the Carolina Panthers, who are on a bye week this week. So the Rams late window will already know the result of the Seattle Seahawks. These two teams, the Rams and the Seahawks, are on a collision course for their next and final game which is the Thursday night kickoff to week 16. That's what's at stake between those teams while the Steelers and the Ravens take on each other. This is all happening at the same time. Mm-hmm. Okay, the Rams and the Cardinals are later on. But while the Seahawks are taking on the Falcons, the Steelers and the Ravens, the first of two times. 6-6 versus 6-6. And the winner has a massive tiebreak over the other. As I mentioned, the first of two times these two teams face each other in Pittsburgh in the final game of the year. So what better way to go into the last 4 weeks of the season than beating your blood rival and having a first place record? And Lamar is just announced today, despite him being banged up, missing some practices, he's going. And then the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to be on the road, and they're going to be hoping that they'll look up in the crowd and see some terrible towels and make them feel like they are at home, even though it's Baltimore and it's a blood sport. And there's so much at stake right now, because as this is happening, Joe Burrow's back. He's back in Western New York, and the Cincinnati Bengals at 4-8 know that they still have, regardless of the result, Pittsburgh and Baltimore, a shot to win this division. Because Joe Burrow's back, and it's for the first time since week two, Burrow behind center, and then T. Higgins and Jamar Chase out wide. T. Higgins has been cleared. While the Buffalo Bills, I mean, Darius Slay is like, all right, I'm so glad you picked me up, but what do you think? 8-4 is not a good spot to be in with Josh Allen coming off that win.
The team he wants to go to is also 8-4.
That one's a big mystery. And then, you know, Joey Bosa is not playing. No Terrell Bernard playing in this game either. I mean, what a monster game this is, because if the Bills lose it, their next game is at New England. And if they lose that one, the division's done. The Patriots can clinch the division if the Bills lose this game. And if the Bengals win it, oh, baby, it's on like Donkey Kong. So there is so much at stake for both teams. The season's over if the Bills win this for Cincinnati. I can at least say that, even though I've been saying the season is not over. And if the Bills win this game, the division somehow is still in the mix. But the Bengals win this game, then they go home. It'll be Burrow's first home game since week two. And it'll be against Baltimore for them to try and sweep the Ravens. That's a massive game that's at stake there. And while this is happening, the AFC South has a massive game between the Colts and the Jaguars. The Colts, who lost at home last week to the Texans, need to win this game in order to have a shot at their division, one would think. Because they already lost one at home to the Texans. They haven't played the Jaguars at home yet either. The Jaguars would love to tell the Colts, not here, not today. No Sauce Gardner. He's out. Jonathan Taylor's got to carry today here, man. Daniel Jones, banged up, nicked up, who knows? The Jaguars are feeling it, and Duval's going to show up in full throat, and the Colts normally don't do very well there in Jacksonville. What a big game this is. Colts win it, they have a great shot at the division. Jaguars win it, and the Colts have got to be wondering what is going on, because their next game for them is not easy. They visit Seattle while they're home for San Francisco. Oh, boy. And then they have Jacksonville at home, and then they're at Houston. They've got to win this. They got to win some games now. That would be three losses in a row, and Jacksonville has been on a heater since that London game against the Rams. So, except for losing at home to Houston, I mean, losing in Houston, a game that they had pretty much wrapped up. Otherwise, they'd be on a five-game win streak. That's a massive game. Meanwhile, while that's happening, the Commanders are at the Vikings. And again, I know these teams are out of it, but Jaden Daniels is back. J.J. McCarthy is in. These are games that the Commanders haven't won since they were 3-2. They're 3-9. The Vikings need to show something. They need to see a pulse. They need to have J.J. McCarthy stop all this conversation about how they made a massive mistake. He's got five games left in which to prove it. That's a big game. The Dolphins and the Jets are taking on each other at the same time. One Eastern window. The Jets just surprised the Falcons. The Dolphins win this one. They take on the Steelers next week. They have an opportunity to get back to 500. The Jets would love to stick it to the Dolphins. Remember the Monday night game where the Jets thought that season could still be redeemed. That was the Dolphins' only win while they started 1-6. They're 5-7 now. Here we go. The Dolphins need to win this one because they have some tough games ahead. Meanwhile, while that's happening, you also have the Titans at the Browns. Okay. You've got Shador, another home start. You got Cam Ward coming in. You got the first overall pick taking on a fifth round selection who thought, or at least many people thought once upon a time, could be first overall. Saints at Buccaneers. Bucs not getting Mike Evans back yet. But the Bucs need to win this game, certainly with Carolina on their bye week. That is a big game in division. That's all good. I mean, the witching hour is going to be insane. And then you've got late window, the Broncos at the Raiders. The Broncos coming off of that big win on Sunday Night Football. They win this, they would be the one seed above the bye weeking Patriots, both 11-2 going into the final stretch of the season. While the Raiders at 2-10, they are getting... They need to win in the worst way. I mean, an absolute worst way. Is Max Crosby going to play in this game? You know, the Broncos are hoping that's not the case. I already mentioned Rams and the Cardinals. Bears and Packers, baby. Bears and the Packers are playing each other for the right to be in first place. And this is Ben Johnson's first crack at the Packers. And they're the teams coming in at 9-3. And the Packers are 8-3-1. And they're coming off a win against the Lions. This game is as huge as possibly can get. The Bears are the one seed. Can the Rams take the one seed back? Can the Eagles take the one seed back? Let's pump the brakes a little bit. Because you got the Texans and the Chiefs on Sunday night. The Chiefs at 6-6. They have to win this game. They have to win out, essentially, and hope for some great results in order to make the playoffs. Absolutely need to beat the Texans because they already have a tiebreak on the Colts and the Texans. And if the Jaguars win the AFC South, the Chiefs can cash in some of these tiebreaks and take care of business until the Texans beat it. And they can also somehow, some way, just wipe the taste of the last 2 weeks out of their mouths while the Texans have been on a roll. And what better way to say that we are no longer 0-3 and we can not only win this division, we can make a greater run than that if we win the division. And put that card on the table. That's on Sunday Night Football. And then the Eagles come out here to SoFi Stadium. The Chargers want to win this division. They got to keep winning. Justin Herbert with a surgically repaired hand taking on an Eagles team that will not have Jalen Carter, but they will have a home field advantage. And one would think all the fans there won't be booing them every 2 seconds. That's a big time contest. Certainly with the Cowboys having already lost, they win this. Their magic number to clinch the division is 2 going to the final 4 games of the year. And that's what's at stake in week number 14.
Let's go.
We take a break. We'll be back with your calls in a moment.
Meet the computer you can talk to. With Copilot on Windows, working, creating, and collaborating is as easy as talking. Got writer's block? Share your screen with Copilot Vision to help spark inspiration and use Copilot Voice to have a conversation and brainstorm ideas. Or maybe you need some tech help. With Copilot Vision, Copilot sees what you see. Let Copilot talk you through step-by-step guidance so you can master new apps, games, and skills faster. Try now at windows.com/copilot.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Back here on The Rich Eisen Show, we're on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. As we mentioned, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial right here on the program. Let me go to a quick phone call right here. Cowboy James in San Antonio. What's up, Cowboy James?
Hey, Rich, thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for making it.
Hey, TJ.
Sir.
I say, I didn't want you to catch all that smoke today by yourself, man.
Thank you.
You know, I've been a Cowboy fan since 72, so, hey, I'm here with you, brother. I'm here with you. I still say that we need to pay Pickens. He had a bad game.
Yeah.
I'm not going to hold it against him like you didn't. CeeDee Lamb had the drops, you know, a couple of weeks ago. He came back strong. Mm-hmm. I expect Pickens to come back strong against Minnesota, and I still think he ought to get paid. You know, give him that 60-70 guarantee, and about, you know, $1 million, $1.5 million above the franchise tag.
Okay.
And we're going to be all good, even if it's for next year.
Well, listen, Cowboy James, I'm glad you're there for TJ.
Yes, sir.
I'd like you to be there for me when I negotiate my next contract. Thank you, Cowboy James in San Antonio. Right. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. They make the claims process easy so you can get back on the road in no time. It's why over 43 million drivers trust Progressive. See for yourself at progressive.com. And in terms of Pickens, he's already heard it. I'm sure he's heard it already, and he's going to be hearing it, certainly since they're on a mini bye. Like that performance last night, they needed him to be like the Pickens for the last 3 weeks. And instead, you know, that's all I'm saying. You look at it, he'd run, you know, routes that weren't crisp, and he let a ball drop right in front of him. Lights could have been or in his eyes or not. How he's going to handle this is crucially important. And if I'm the Dallas Cowboys, I'm taking note of it. Because if he's going in a tank, where did that tank come from? Because he was killing it.
Here's the deal. He can't go in the tank because CD, based upon what we saw last night, is not going to play next week.
Maybe not. I mean, they do have a mini bye. Yeah, I don't know.
I would hope not. So
we'll see how
GP3
he recovers.
GP3's got to step up next week.
For over 27 years, every Hyundai sold has helped fund life-saving pediatric cancer research as part of Hyundai Hope on Wheels. Together with over 850 dealers nationwide, they've raised more than $277 million, supporting over 25,000 kids in their fight against cancer. Visit HyundaiUSA.com and search Hyundai Hope on Wheels to learn more. Hyundai Hope isn't optional. It comes standard. We're back at you here from this space on Monday from our Los Angeles studios. And then all next week, we're going to be doing our shows from New York City, from the home offices of ESPN and the family of networks there.
That's wild.
That will be indeed wild. That's next week. I want to thank today's guests, Tom Pelissero, Bruce Arians, and the great, cool, chill, awesome Andy Garcia.
Thanks for listening to the Rich Eisen Show podcast. You can watch and listen to The Rich Eisen Show live weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, Disney Plus, and on the ESPN app. The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.